you haven't heard, Triple M rocks Test Cricket.
Boy, was that something to behold.
And it sounds a little different.
Maximum!
That is a brutal ball.
Settle in, get yourself a brandy.
Triple M rocking Test Cricket.
Stock is in again. And he's bowled him! That's the wicket!
What are you doing here with that hammer?
Boom shagalaga.
Yeah, I know.
Live from the SCG, it's day five of the third test between Australia and Pakistan.
Triple M rocks Test Cricket.
And the good news as we welcome you is it's not only fine, but it's beautiful here at the SCG. And we can't wait for day five. Plenty to look forward to. Pakistan, 1 for 55. Azhar Ali, the mainstay of their batting throughout this series. 11 not out. Yasir Shah, the night watchman, on 3. Plenty to look forward to. Australia trying to sweep this series 3-0 as I look at a couple of very, very fine Sydney siders. Brad Haddin, one of them. Kerry O'Keefe, the other. Morning, boys.
Good morning to you, Jim. Yeah, fascinating day in prospect. Can Australia sweep here? Every chance, I think. We'll see the psyche of the Pakistanis pretty early. Azhar Ali, he'll fight. What will Yasir Shah, the night watchman, do? He only really knows one way. And then the ageing middle order, though one of them's in pretty good form, Yunus Khan. But plenty to look forward to. Pitch isn't as scarred as, and we've agreed that Hads, you know, normally it looks like Searle's face.
Yep.
But today, it's as smooth as Warnie's forehead.
Yes. Two very good analogies. Yeah. We've seen the Pakistan batsmen wandering out. The Aussies are ready to go. So what factor the pitch, Hads?
Yeah, it's not a typical day five wicket. It's a lot harder than it normally is, and hasn't played as much tricks as you would normally expect here at Sydney on day four. So Pakistan are up against the odds, I think, to draw the test match. But I see a little bit of fight today. I think they're going to put their heels in, and it's going to be a tough, long day for some tight Australian bowlers.
For Nearmap, Australia's leading provider of aerial imagery, Neroli Meadows down on the boundary. Brett Lee with her.
Yeah, Brett, you've had a good look at the pitch. What can you tell us?
Well, Scull will be happy with this. It is still a beautiful wicket. It hasn't opened up the way we thought it would. However, there are a few cracks which weren't there yesterday that are starting to open up. So Nathan Lyon could definitely come into play. He has to come into play today. This is the day five. This is the day where he needs to spin the ball, turn it square. A couple of rough areas there as well. So not what we usually see at the SCG, but a lot better than what it was yesterday.
Josh Hazlewood, always very composed, but he's been a bit chirpy out there in the middle. He said that he's really trying to get stuck into Azhar Ali because we've got to find some way of getting him out. Is that fair?
Yeah, and look, I think sometimes if you do say a few words, it can, you know, as a bowler, switch you on. You know, you can feel like you're part of the contest, you're part of the game. So sometimes that can be to Josh's benefit to actually try and fire himself up. But look, whatever it takes, whichever way that they can do it, to make sure they can take 9 wickets today, if it takes a bit of sledging, a bit of gamesmanship, then do it.
And JB, good news out of the Aussie camp. Matt Renshaw is at the ground today. He's feeling better. The headaches and the dizziness are gone. So that is wonderful news for the young Aussie opener. And just a reminder to anyone who is in Sydney, come down to the game. It's a gold coin donation for the McGrath Foundation. So you can see plenty of Test cricket for a great cause.
Well done, Nez. Thanks for that. And thanks to Bing. Just getting back to your comments there, Skull. When you said the seal's face, I'm thinking, what, like whiskers? And
yeah, look, it's unkind.
Weird-ass noses and stuff.
He is a little lined, the seal. I'm a big fan, by the way.
I wasn't sure you were actually talking about the man seal until you wandered into worn territory.
Yeah.
There are a few in the house, which is great. As Neroli said, please come down. Gold coin donation to the best of causes, and you'll see some great cricket. Australia trying to wrap up this series, and Pakistan are trying to hang on. 1 for 55, it's Hazlewood with ball in hand. Azhar Ali on strike, short leg, short mid-wicket, mid-on, mid-off, two slips in the gully. So a fairly standard field as we get day five underway.
Gus Warnon with you, Brett Lee beside me, and please go to thepinktest.com.au for your charity money for the McGrath Foundation. We're about to speak to Kate, who's a regional South Australian breast care nurse. Kate, welcome to Triple M Cricket. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. We've just got a new number coming through from the McGrath Foundation. You were after $390,000 for a breast care nurse for 3 years. We're now at $455,084. So That's absolutely brilliant. How does that make you feel?
Look, it's fantastic. I feel so proud of Australia that they've gotten behind such a great foundation. We still need more donations, though. It's an ongoing cost, so I encourage people to donate more at pinktest.com.au. But, yeah, very, very proud and overwhelmed.
So you should be.
Tremendous, is it? 455,084. Wouldn't it be nice to get what the target is for the Pakistanis? 465K, that'd be good.
Well, if you come down to the SCG with a gold coin donation, all that money will go to the McGrath Foundation today. So, Kate, your role every single day, you look after a regional part of South Australia. Let our listeners know exactly what that means.
The McGrath breast care nurse basically navigates these women and men through their breast cancer journey. They have no knowledge of cancer prior to this diagnosis, so we hold their hand and make sure that they're on the right track, basically.
You're one of Jane McGrath's angels, I've been told. You're very, very special, what you do. So you're someone there to hold someone's hand, explain and take them through something which, of course, is harrowing and also very scary.
Absolutely. And the McGrath nurses are trained in the knowledge of breast cancer, so we can break things down for them. When they go to see the doctor, it's often lots of big words, lots of appointments lined up. We can break things down and also make sure that their appointments are, back-to-back, so they're minimising trips to the city. So it's 400 kilometres from Wyala to Adelaide, 800-kilometre round trip. So if we can minimise the amount of trips that they do, it just makes their experience a little bit easier.
And Kate, how have you found the difference, or what's been the feedback as to having a breast care nurse or not having that, that person there to actually hold your hand?
Yeah, I've spoken to a couple of women that didn't have that, the nurse. The ladies that haven't had a breast care nurse have often felt quite isolated and alone, and they felt that they have been rushed through the system and then basically left, and they often describe it as being dropped off the side of a cliff, in this big unknown area with no constant person there. So it does make a huge difference to these women and men.
How long have you been doing this particular role for, Kate?
4 years. So not an overly long time. I've done a bit of study and stuff, and I'm planning to do more. And I hope to be in the role for a lot longer if we have the continued support of Australia.
So $390,000. So we have one breast care nurse now for the next 3 years. And like you said, Binger, let's get as much as we can for the rest of today. So when you do your work and then you come here away from your location, if you like, and you see how much we all love the foundation, how does that make you feel?
Oh, I'm in awe. I really am, especially day three. It was very emotional. It was just amazing to see the support from everybody, all dressed in pink, and everyone is so generous. I really enjoyed seeing all the volunteers as well. It was just, very overwhelming to see them all in the rain, with their collection tins.
So what's a day in your life?
A day in my life, I guess, making sure that the women that I have had contact with are okay. If they've had any appointments, following up on those appointments, making sure that they've seen their doctor afterwards as well.
How many people do you look after personally in your regional area?
I have active clients, and I also have some ladies that have finished their treatment that I just offer some psychosocial support. So anywhere between sort of 20 to 60. It depends on who needs my help.
Must be hard for you not to get emotionally involved with these ladies, because you're holding their hand, you're going through the experience with them.
Absolutely, but my job is easy compared to theirs. Mm. So I think trying to be that strong person for them, it's their journey, not mine. I'm just there to make it a little bit easier for them.
Well, there's no doubt the Sydney crowd's got behind the foundation.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
It's lovely how Kate said then that once they get through that initial tough period, and if they get through that next, then they make it and they're all in the clear. They've still got someone to hold their hand to come back and to fall upon. So well done.
Kate, we want to thank you for coming in and
thank you for
congratulate you on all the work that you do. And you're just one of so many that are
out
there.
Absolutely.
Sydney now, we've been able to get at least another one for the next 3 years. And we'll be here at the Ashes next year. We're going to smash the record again.
10 years. It's at the 10th Pink Test. So we really want to encourage everybody to continue to support the foundation. We still need ongoing costs of around $12 million a year. So please dig deep. And you can see where the money's going. That's why we come and share our stories, to show Australia what a difference it's making.
Kate, thank you very much. We know you're going to be busy today, but thanks for spending some time with us on Triple M Rock and Test Cricket.
Thank you for having me.
G'day, it's Matty Wade. Triple M Rocks Test Cricket.
Triple M Rock and Test Cricket.
Welcome back to the SCG, where it is the lunch break here, and we've got Pakistan 5 for 128, just 5 wickets remaining for a clean sweep for the Aussies in this 3-test series. I'm Neralee Meadows. I'm joined by Brad Haddon and Kerry O'Keefe. And Hads, what's impressed you most about the Aussies in this 3-test series as we do look to complete a whitewash?
Yeah, what's impressed me most is the character of the team. I think since Hobart, Steve Smith's really stamped his authority onto this team and really given the team an identity. And I've liked the way they've gone about their cricket, moving the game forward. We're starting to get a lot more settled on our lineup. We're still tossing up with that number six position, whether we go for an all-rounder type or we go for a batsman. But the real thing I've liked about is Steve Smith's really put his identity on this team now.
So as captain, in this series, he's scored a 441 runs at an average of 110.25. You talk about that moment in Hobart. He said he wants players in the team who value the baggy green, and he was very, very strong. Was that a line in the sand moment, do you think, Kerry, in his captaincy as such a young captain?
Definitely. It was a statement of war. I mean, enough. You know, we're not going to keep losing. And as much as it was cricket in crisis at the time, Steve Smith didn't think that. He knew he had the core of a side that could bounce back. And so it's proved. The best leaders know the way, go the way, show the way. And from that moment in Hobart, he's done all of that. His own batting has been outstanding. He's caught virtually everything. And his captaincy in terms of field settings and demanding that the bowlers bowl to the fields he set has been as astute as you could see. So he's added so many dimensions since Hobart to his overall game.
Yeah. And one thing we need to remember about Steve Smith, he's actually a young leader. He's only, I think, 27 years of age, Steve Smith, and he hasn't got great captaincy experience. He didn't do much for New South Wales. He's always been a great leader. But that moment in Hobart, that we'll talk about that for years to come as the making of Steve Smith.
Mm.
So the all-rounders, you brought it up. Have we found our all-rounder, Hilton Cartwright? He's bowled just 4 overs, so he hasn't particularly been used here. What do you think is the solution, Hads?
I like an all-rounder as an option there to take pressure off the fast bowlers. I still think, and I'm hoping, like everyone else in Australia, that Mitchell Marsh comes good. I think he's a great package. He's fast enough nearly to be a frontline bowler. If we can just get some runs out of him, I think Mitch Marsh is our answer. But we also got to decide which way we're going to use that number six. For an Ashes campaign, do we go in with 6 out-and-out batsmen, for example? So it's still up in the air, that position, but who knows? We might need a spinning all-rounder, a Maxwell or Head type for the Indian series.
Mitch Marsh has been scoring runs, and that's what they wanted him to do. He's gone back to the Big Bash. Now, obviously, it's a completely different format, but it's the only format we've got right now to judge people on, Kerry. Do you think he's done enough and shown enough composure at the crease to be able to earn his spot back, given that he was initially dumped for team balance?
I think so. I'm a fan of Mitchell Marsh. I know that he plonks that big left dog down the pitch and he can be a bit one-dimensional, but he's far a superior bowler to Hilton Cartwright, who's basically not even a part-timer. They're trying to make him the third seamer. He's not that by a long stretch. I like his batting, but Mitchell Marsh can bowl people out, and Hads was at I thought his spell at Lord's was stunning on the last Ashes tour. He's capable of getting Ashes wickets, and whereas Hilton Cartwright is not capable of that. So I think that the longer-term bet should be Mitchell Marsh. Hilton Cartwright's been dry, and he has something, without question. But if they want the number six to bowl first change or even second change, it's not H. Cartwright, Western Australia.
As far as selectors go, we criticise them a lot, but is it a case of credit where credit's due for the youngsters Matt Renshaw and Peter Hanscom, because they've been pretty impressive? Obviously, Nick Maddison didn't work out, but 2 out of 3 ain't bad.
I think the selectors done a really good job this summer, and we don't often say that, to be honest. They're the first guys to be used as punching bags, but they deserve a lot of credit for seeing something in Renshaw. He's only played a handful of first-class games, and he's been outstanding. Renshaw and Ham's going to be obviously the find of the summer. They took a chance on Nick Maddison, which I also didn't mind. It gave him a taste of Test cricket. So I think they've done a really, really good job.
I couldn't agree more. They don't get enough kudos. They got Renshaw right in Australia. They've got Sean Marsh about to perhaps play the first test in India. It would be a tough call on Renshaw, but they probably think that Sean Marsh has more chance of combating Ravi Ashwin and company on a Turner than Matt Renshaw, age 20, with limited experience. So I think they're getting a lot of things right. They've invested in Matthew Wade as the wiki. They're factoring in that he's going to improve, and we are seeing signs. They'd love a wrist spinner to emerge, but in the meantime, Nathan Lyon does the job, and Steve O'Keefe on a deck like this, he'll go to India. They want that pace squadron to multiply. They want P. Cummins back. They want Billy Stanlake. They want James Pattinson, and they could get them all. So suddenly the artillery is starting to look pretty good.
How exciting would it be if we're sitting here getting ready for the first Ashes test where you've got available Pattinson, Cummins, Stanlake, Joel Parris, with just his fast bowling with trees. Excuse me. I've lost my train of thought there. You need fast bowlers to win big tournaments, and the Ashes are huge. So to have that many at your disposal is going to be outstanding.
It's been a huge series for the quicks as well. Josh Hazlewood is leading the way, 14 wickets. Stark up next with 13 wickets before Riaz with 11 and Lyon with 11, which is funny for Lyon because we spent a lot of the time criticising him, but he's still up there. Josh Hazlewood obviously just keeps on delivering, but Mitchell Stark, do you feel like he's been a little bit underdone? He obviously came in with limited preparation and six tests plus the one days against New Zealand. It's a lot.
Oh, and he looks tired, Ness. That's the thing. He won the game, and we're talking. He won the game in Brisbane with that terrific ball to Asad Shafiq when they were going to mow down 490. Then he bowled a telling spell in Melbourne on the last day, having slogged 85. He's a very special cricketer. He played the one days. He looks tired in this game. He only has the one wicket. He's uncomfortable with his run up. He looks flat. It's time to rest. But he's done his job. Australia have wrapped up this series. They should wrap up this match at some stage. They may have to do it without Mitchell Stark. But he's been a super performer. But Hazlewood, the star this summer, he was the best against South Africa. And he's probably been the best against Pakistan.
Hads, you know him well. You've had a fair bit to do with him. Do you think he's underrated? He's brought up his 100 test wicket, and we don't sort of talk about him in the same breath as the Cummins and the Pattinsons, but he just keeps on delivering, and he's a veteran at 25.
I tell you where he's not underrated is in the change room. What he brings to the team. We talk a lot about Mitchell Stark because he's just an amazing bowler and has that X factor, but Josh Hazlewood at the other end, they're starting to form a really, really good partnership, these two. We just need a couple more of the Pattinsons and that to start getting back into some cricket, and we're going to have a really good bunch. But I've got nothing but praise for Josh Hazlewood. He's, since that moment in Hobart, Stark and Hazlewood look like they've grabbed the bowling unit and said, come on, boys, follow me. And he's one of those guys that everyone follows.
And I tell you what, he's Mr. Consistent on and off the field. Even after a few beers, he doesn't change personality.
Mate, he does not change personalities.
What's wrong with him?
He's got a good country kid.
He's got hollow legs.
And he can swim. Did you see the swimming race between him and Stark in Sri Lanka?
I missed that.
Oh, it was Phelps-like. The two of them churning up the pool together.
There you go. Coming up with some gold for us there, Kerry. Look, the other thing, I suppose, we touched on it before, but Pete Hanscom, an average of 99.75 in his first four tests. In this series, he's got the best average out of the lot, 114.66. It's hard not to get carried away with what he's achieved so far.
No, I think we should get carried away. Mm. I think he's been outstanding. His batting speaks for itself. It's just the temperament he brings to the team. He's calm and... We've had a lot of these collapses over a period of time for Australia. And I think Peter Hanscom could be the one with the way he goes about his business. He doesn't look like he gets flustered under pressure. So I think he's been great in that middle order for Australia. And I am getting excited about him.
How nice is it, Kerry, to be able to see a number five bat come out and feel safe as a cricket fan? You feel like it's in safe hands.
Oh, definitely. He got 40 not out yesterday from nothing. That was a perfect situation for him not to get runs. But he managed a little 40 not out. And that was a measure of the way he's been playing, because he has this technique where he hangs back in the crease, but if they slightly give it above an eye line, he's down there with his twinkling feet, which is in a little bit of stark contrast to Hilton Cartwright, who may be a little heavy-footed at this stage. But Hanscom can dance down the pitch or hang back and work you through point by playing late. It looks a technique bound to get runs in India, which is a big plus with that just around the corner.
I can tell you, though, he is absolutely filthy with the declaration because he needed one more run to average 100. He's stuck on 99.75, but we love a little bit of fight in the youngsters coming in. All right, after the break, we'll have a look ahead with Kerry O'Keefe and Brad Haddon to the one day is, of course, the tour of India, and then it's the Ashes.
This is Nathan Lyon.
Okay, then a quick roll call.
This summer, yep. The M's Rock Test Cricket.
Yep. Triple M Rocks Test Cricket.
Welcome back to the SCG, where it is the lunch break here. The Aussies need five more wickets for a clean sweep of this three-test series up against Pakistan. Nathan Lyon has taken 2 for 42. Josh Hazlewood, 2 for 20. And the news out of the Pakistani camp is that Mohammad Amir will bat despite a very minor side strain to his left side, and they are confident he'll be right to go for the one dayers. I'm Neroli Meadows. I'm joined by Brad Haddon and Kerry O'Keefe. We've reviewed the series so far, so let's take a look ahead, because the next task is India. It is so tough to get results there. Have you seen enough Hads in this series and this summer to think that perhaps the Aussies can?
I'd hope so. We had a disappointing tour of Sri Lanka, and I just hope we take something out of that. I hope we learn from the mistakes we made over there, and we go into that series with India with a game plan. I think we're still, my gut feeling, we're undecided at the top of the order whether Renshaw plays. I know he's had an outstanding introduction into Test cricket. Do you take him to India or bring Sean Marsh back in? I think these are the questions that'll be interesting to see answered over the next coming weeks.
Kerry, he's only 20 years of age. It could really break a young player, couldn't it, India? Or it could make him.
Or it could make him, you're right. And he's done tremendously well, but there's something about his technique that doesn't say, I'm just going to own Ravi Ashwin, Jadeja and Yadav. And that is the question the selectors have to take. Do you bring Sean Marsh in at the top of the order and rest Matt Renshaw and just have him there to learn? The big problem, and I watched a lot of England-India recently, was that the Indian spinners owned the English left-handers. Australia's got a lot of left-handers. Warner has to stand up at the top of the list. But it's the right-handers who are probably in the best position to overcome England in a couple of, India in a couple of tests. That's Smith, Hanscom, and if it's Cartwright at six. So, really, I reckon that the onus really is on Warner to boss a couple of games, and for the Australian right-handers, Steve Smith, Hanscom, Cartwright to play telling innings against the Indian spinners.
So to both of you, the Australian selectors have said Sean Marsh doesn't necessarily have to come back in as an opener. He can go anywhere in that top middle order. Should Sean Marsh be playing regardless in India?
I think he should be. He's shown that in the last test match in Sri Lanka, where he got an unbelievable 100 under pressure after a disappointing tour from the Australians. But I think they'll find a spot for him. And the beauty of having Marshy around is he can bat from 1 to 6, so he can fit in where we need to. So I'm not sure whether I'll use him, but he'll definitely be in the 6, I think.
Yeah, I agree. He could be the 6, and Renshaw stays at number 2 with Warner. Again, as we've looked at Sri Lanka, it'll be the review system and the defensive strokes against the turning or non-turning ball that decides our fate. And Harath just bossed us and used the review perfectly for LB Plonks in Sri Lanka. And Ashwin and Jadeja will do the same in India. They'll be going upstairs a lot. Are our defensive techniques in order on Bunsen's to keep them away from us?
Hads, Wade or Neville?
Well, I think they've shown their hand, the Australian selectors. They've invested in Matthew Wade. And I'd be shocked if they didn't give him the Indian series. One of the things was he does bat well against spin bowling. Oh, I think since he's come in, his keeping's definitely improved. He looks like a much more mature cricketer now. And he's definitely... He's taken Victoria to two titles since he's been out of the test team. So he's actually maturing into his game. So, yeah, it's going to be a big call, but I think they'll stay with Wade because they've invested in him now.
Obviously, the huge challenge is Virat Kohli. Now, you tried to get under his skin and get him out that way in Australia. Does it work?
Not much work last time. he's a class act, and he's going to be a huge wicket for Australia. And And we talk a lot about targeting opposition captains, and this is going to be no better example in this series. If Australia can keep Kohli quiet, it'll go a long way for, to helping Australia have a really good series against India.
Kerry, when we look ahead to the Ashes, do you think that the tough calls made in Hobart could really pay dividends 12 months down the track?
Oh, I do, because I think there's a core of a squad now here for our pitchers that can beat England. England will, you know, I'm interested in whether Alistair Cook comes in the dimming twilight, you would think, and a leader who's conservative, very Misbah-ul Haq-like. I mean, we got owned by Faf du Plessis, who was fighting an ongoing battle against authority, who refused to take a backward step against Australia. They're the sort of captains that, and Virat Kohli is another, they're the dangerous captains against Australia. So I'm interested in who England pick to lead next year. But I think there's a core, and there's, as Hads has referred to, we've got a squadron of fast bowlers all getting fit, and this is the big campaign next summer. If there can be six to eight to choose from, which includes Jackson Bird and Stanlake and Cummins and Pattinson, and they're all fit and ready to go at the Gabba game one, we are in a very good position, because the spinner won't beat England on our decks. It'll be our pace squad. And if we can get them up and fully fit and rotating, and I hate to use the word, but it's got to be an absolute blitzkrieg of them. And if we've got the numbers fit and ready, we can alternate them and we can undo England.
Okay, of more immediate concern, of course, is the five-match one-day series up against Pakistan, starting at the Gabba on January 13. Hads, does Chris Lynn have to come into this side? He scored 309 at 154 in the Big Bash. He's never played a one-day international, though.
It's hard to ignore. What I've been witnessing in the Big Bash is it's just been extraordinary. He seems like he can hit the ball for six whenever he wants. And I like picking guys in form. And Chris Lynn, in the short form at the moment, looks like he's on top of his game. So if we're ever going to give him an opportunity, now would be a great time.
Kerry, we know as far as the quicks go that Josh Hazlewood, Mitchell Starc, they probably won't play all of them because we need them to be cherry ripe for India. Who do you think comes in there? With John Hastings, who's been the number one day wicket taker for a while now, he's out injured. So somebody like a Sean Abbott, do you bring him in? He's had 12 wickets in the Big Bash. He's leading the way.
I keep seeing, I see Lynn every evening and I see Billy Stanlake every second evening. And he is not the guy at 6'9" and close to 150 that you want to face after being swept 3-0 in the Test Series. So this is why I think Stanlake will probably make that squad and be used, not for every game, but impact player.
I agree 100%. I faced him the other night and trot on the stumps,
yeah,
got out
saw
of there.
That.
Yeah, I think we've got a 7-foot giant there that bowls at 150k. So I'd love to see him have a go at international cricket. And once again, he's bowling well and taking wickets at the moment. So throw him in while he's in form.
Yeah, and Lynn, I mean, the question over Lynn is the shoulder and his ability to throw in the field. And they may work against him, given, but it's box office. And after this, you know, with the Big Bash rattling along, the ODIs come. We need box office, don't we? We've got to get bums on seats. And somebody like Chris Lynn, take him away. And I don't want to demean the Big Bash, but take him away from the Big Bash and put him in to an ODI and they will come.
It certainly would be a big blow for the Brisbane Heat, that's for sure. Brad Haddin, Kerry O'Keefe, thanks so much for your time.
And Australia comprehensively wrap up this Test Series 3-0. And they are back as a Test-playing nation. They huddle at the Randwick Street end, and that is that as far as this game and series is concerned. Terrific comeback from Australia in five-day cricket. After being embarrassed by South Africa, they have won four straight Test matches, three in a row against Pakistan, and they've done it with aplomb.
Well done, Australia. It's been a fantastic series. I really like where Steve Smith's taking this Australian team at the moment. It's been a tough summer, but they've got the rewards at the back end against Pakistan. So they should all hold their head held high, and we should be very excited about where this new Australian team's going.
And Khan, for the people making notes at home, 5 ducks from 8 innings. As the lad has terrific form, consistency. We just don't know how good he is because he keeps getting out. But on behalf of, you know, obviously all the people, special comments people, can I say it's been great working with Brad and you, JB, and the whole Triple M network today to cover the test here at the Sydney Cricket Ground. And what a great addition to media coverage in Australia, this Triple M rocking cricket wheeze has been. Sure, we've made a lot of money. Sure, we've had a lot of fun. Yes. But the main thing is, though, I think we brought a slightly different perspective to the whole thing.
Well, having listened to a fair bit of radio cricket in my life, HG, I'm pretty sure no one's ever done it like this before. So we have enjoyed it enormously. First time that the Pakistan team have lost 6 test matches in a row.
Yes, yes.
And that's not good news for Mickey Arthur and the group that are running this proud cricket nation. But they've been bounced out of Australia 3-0. And this test match, really, I reckon Brad Haddin was set up in the first 2 hours by David Warner.
I agree 100%. I thought what David Warner did in that first 2 hours was basically take the game away from Pakistan. The brand of cricket he's playing at the moment, he's just allowing Australia time to set the game up. As we see now, the two teams shaking hands and just enjoying each other's company. So it's been a great series, and well done to Australia.
Yep, Steve Smith out in front, and then Davey Warner behind him with one of the pink stumps. He's got every right to souvenir one of them. My player of the match, and I'm sure lots will agree, 100 and then a 50 off 27 balls in the second innings. And just providing all the people here at the SCG with incredible entertainment. Renshaw with 180, very good. Hanscom with another test match 100. Yunus Khan 100. It was a flat 100 making pitch, it has to be said. Much easier to bat on than bowl. But in the end, Australia too good.
And you've got to take 20 wickets to win the test match. I thought the bowlers, we went in with something different. We went with the two spinners. I thought Stephen O'Keefe did a great job and shows that he'll be a threat come India. And I enjoyed the way Nathan and Stephen bowled together. And the Josh Hazlewood and Mitchell Starc can enjoy a break now and go put their feet up because they deserve it.
Steve O'Keefe, how you feeling, mate?
Yeah, that's the fourth test and the first win, so it hasn't really sunk in yet, but you know, I mean, it's been a great performance by the boys. I think set up really well by the batters and the way that we bowled in that first inning. So you know, we'll get back in the sheds and I think it'll sink in and I'll enjoy the moment.
And well done on your bowling as well and contribution.
Yeah, just occasionally there. You get one on off stump, it might turn, the other one might slide on. But yeah, no, look, I think the coach Darren Lehman summed it up pretty well. If you just stay patient, hit around that off stump, you're going to create some chances on what is a wearing wicket. You know, a bit of luck with missed bars, dismissal obviously going pretty hard, but yeah, look, it was great to be a part of it, great to be involved and great to contribute with a couple of wickets.
Well, it's nice that you come in, mate. They make a couple of changes, but you very quickly feel part of this team. It's a close team.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. As soon as you walk into this shed, there's a great sense of synergy amongst the boys. They're playing good cricket at the moment, so it's a nice place to be.
And you've worked particularly hard to get back here yourself.
Yeah, I've worked pretty hard on my fitness with the New South Wales Cricket, Dan Redrup and Michael Mayne, who's the S&C there. They've been peppering me, but it's been really good, and I think you know, today's good reward to be able to get through a game and do well.
And good to see Nath bowl well. I thought you teamed up nicely.
Yeah, Gaz is bowling, you know, beautifully. I've been saying that all summer. I think you're going to go through in his long career, you're going to go through periods where you may not take wickets, but you're still bowling well. As you can see, the ball comes out nicely. It's good shape. Just needs to keep that belief and confidence up, and, you know, he'll go on and take a couple hundred more test wickets, I'm sure.
You're thinking about India?
Not at the moment. I'm hungry and I'm thirsty, so I'm just thinking about getting into the sheds. But, yeah, that's around the corner and, you know, fingers crossed the selectors go that way. So I think the conditions will suit a couple of spinners over there.
Massive win, mate. Enjoy it.
Thanks very much, Slats. I appreciate it.
Good on you. Over to you, Heels.
Yeah, I've got Pete Hanscom with me. Pete, hard to find a better Saturday afternoon than this in front of a very excited member stand.
Yeah, it's awesome how many people have actually turned out to day 5 of the test match here. I don't know if you can hear it, but the crowd's been amazing all day, gotten around all the boys and got us up for a massive win today. So yeah, it's been awesome.
It was quality day 5 bowling once again by your boys.
Yeah, amazing. The two spinners really worked well together in tandem today, hitting their lines, hitting their lengths and changing their pace beautifully. And then the two big fellas charging in, reversing it was awesome.
Yeah, what about your form? The 100 in the first innings. You're making this look easy. 2 test 100s now, 250s. How's it feeling?
it's feeling amazing. I've been very lucky to come into a series on my home turf, so I know these wickets relatively well, so that's put me in good stead for these games, but I couldn't be happier to be part of this team, and I think I'll enjoy it very much this afternoon.
Excellent, mate. And how handy did you come in with the wicket keeping gloves? It's probably a rarity that the wicket keeper gets as ill as Wadey was, and you were here.
Yeah, it takes a lot to get Wadey off the ground. He's always a bit of a fighter and gets up for the competition, so for him to go off was a bit of a shame, but I was happy to take the gloves, mate, and give it a crack, and I think I missed a couple, but it wasn't too bad.
Well, when would your last practice have been?
During the Matador Cup at the start of the season. So I did four games there for Victoria, but since then have not touched the gloves.
Yeah, mate, even your keeping looked okay. Congratulations on what you've achieved in the team and with the bat. May there be many more.
Perfect. Cheers, Hills.
Slats, where are you?
I'm over here with Mitch Stark. How are you feeling, big fella? The last couple of decks have been hard for the fast bowler.
Yeah, look, it's been a bit of tough work, but that's what Test cricket is. And to come away with a 3-0 result, I think full credit to the whole team. We've done it as 11 or 13 blokes really as a squad, so it's been fantastic effort throughout the whole series to get that result.
28 wickets to you and many to Josh Hazel. You've become a great opening partnership.
Yeah, I think we've obviously sort of come through the ranks together over the last sort of 9 years. And look, Josh, he's been fantastic through the whole summer. He's been awesome with his lines and lengths. He hasn't gone for any runs. He's taken a heap of wickets. He's been phenomenal for us, and it's probably allowed me to try and bowl as fast as I can at the other end and be as aggressive as I can. So, look, we enjoy bowling together, enjoy playing for Australia together, and enjoy the wins together as well.
Yeah, well, back-to-back test matches. Tell us, how tiring is it on the body and how do you keep going?
Oh, it's a test match for Australia. You find a way to get up. Yeah, sure, it can be hard work sometimes in some of these wickets, but you've got to find a way. And we had that extra spinner this week, so it's probably taken a little bit of the load off. But, yeah, look, I think personally for the two of us, it's been a pretty good effort for us to get through those six test matches together and had some success along the way. And I think we'll sit back tonight and probably reflect on that and have a bit of a smile on our faces.
And you're an all-rounder now. What about this six hitting?
No, I'm happy just to sit there against the spinners and swing hard. And, yeah, look, I just enjoy contributing with the bat, and I think all the tail do. We work really hard at it. There's always, obviously that competition for spots down at the end, and Nathan likes the bat 11, but, yeah, look, we enjoy challenging each other to score runs, and as I said, just good to contribute.
Well done on the test match summer, mate. Very successful for you. Enjoy it.
Thanks, lads. Cheers, mate.
Heels.
Thanks, lads. I'm with Usman Khawaja, and it has been really handy to break them first over of the day on day five.
Yeah, especially Azhar Ali. He's been in extraordinary form. To get him early was massive for us, and then we kept taking wickets, so it turned out to be a very good day.
Yeah, sustained pressure, quality, right when you needed it.
Yeah, there's a bit of with that kind of wicket, there's a bit of a grind, and the bowlers bowled beautifully, and you know, everyone was up for the challenge, and you know, to get 10 wickets on that and 80 overs was a great effort.
Yeah, well, it really was. On reflection, what do you make of your series? There was 297s thrown into the summer. How are you feeling?
Yeah, feeling great. We obviously didn't have a great start in the first series, but the second series was really good. 3-0. Probably, you know, couldn't have asked for more. So very happy for the wins, and look forward to celebrating.
Very handy to bat in the conditions you batted in yesterday too, where quick runs were the priority, and losing your wicket didn't really matter, and you did it well. 79 not out.
Yeah, it's always nice to have a little bit of freedom, go out there. But I was just letting Davey do the work early on. He was on fire, so he set up that little run sort of get beautifully, and then we just sort of carried on from there.
Now, you set the balcony on fire when you passed 50 with the dab, mate. Where does it come from?
Just felt right.
Yeah, very good. No talk about it prior. There must have been. They were real happy.
There was a little bit of chat here and there, but yeah, the kids love it, so let's do it again.
Yeah, very, very good. Izzy, congratulations on the entertainment you've provided all summer, and may there be many more.
Thank you. Yeah.
Ian Healy there. Thanks to Channel 9 for those interviews. We've got the big buffalo, Mark Taylor. I can see him on the dais about to do the honours. We've got player of the match, player of the series, and of course the captains to come. So we've got the Pakistan team over there now assembling, and the Aussies are making their way over. So we will shortly hear from Mark Taylor. We'll get to a break firstly. No, we'll get to Brett Lee, who's come wandering in. Hello, B.
JB.
Very nice performance from the Aussies these last three matches.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I will echo the words of Brad Haddin, and, you know, Australia have found a great way to fight back, and it's been a clinical series, hasn't it? 3-0. With what they went through the first series here in Australia, it was a bit of a a slow start to the summer, but they've found a way to finish that off now. They've played beautifully together, and all of a sudden you actually see the Australian cricket team bonding again. You know, they're back in the same environment. They're all comfortable with their spots. You know, there's still a few, I guess, you know, issues with some potential batters out there and, you know, not scoring enough runs, but at the end of the day, they've done a great job, and collectively, they've won well as a team.
So we've got Mark Taylor up on the dais, centre of the SCG. Comprehensive innings win there for Australia, and they've now wrapped this series up 3-0.
So, and I think one of the most pleasing things for me is that Australia's been learning through the whole summer. We started off in not so great fashion, and we had some a bad. It all came to a head in Hobart, but the way Steve Smith's brought this team together and to win 3-0, it's been a long summer for the fast bowlers. The way they've performed has been outstanding. And the thing I like most about it, the guys look like they're enjoying their cricket. Even Usman Khawaja, they're talking about his dab. It just felt right.
And kids love the dab, don't they?
Oh, the kids love it. And for me at the moment, it just feels right the way we're playing. We've got a big test coming up in India, but it's all about this series now. These guys deserve to put their feet up for a couple of days and enjoy the moment with each other in the change room.
Oh, yeah, enjoy winning not only the game, but 3-0 against a team that's had some really good test cricket in the last 2 years, Pakistan.
Well, yeah. Pakistan came over here with a lot of hope.
Yeah.
They've been playing some really good test cricket. Just before the New Zealand series, they were number one team in the world. So we all talked about how good Pakistan's bowling attack were, how they were going to trouble the Australian batsmen. But Australia found a way and dominated the series in the end.
And they would have seen what happened with South Africa too and thought we're getting Australia at a good time.
Yeah, absolutely. And you also think back to Brisbane, where they almost knocked Australia off in the first test match. So, you know, only a couple of test matches ago, they were definitely a chance. And throughout the summer, they've had their moments. They've played some amazing cricket and also some pretty poor cricket.
We also got to acknowledge Yunus Khan and Misbah Al-Haq at 42 and 39.
Legends.
Surely we won't see them playing test cricket again in this country, but you're right, B. They both have had extraordinary careers and will go down as, you know, among the greats of Pakistan cricket.
Absolutely. And, you know, Yunus Khan to me is a guy with such a great technique. You know, he's done it on all continents, different parts of the world where he's played, different grounds around, you know, touring, scored some big, big hundreds.
And the Aussies have found a couple. Renshaw, 180 in this game. Very, very nice performance opening the batting after playing well up in Brisbane as well. And Hanscom's just come in and looked like he's played 100 tests.
You know, I thought the pleasing thing with both those players, they just kept getting better and better as the series went on. Peter Hanscom's temperament out in the middle, he doesn't look like he gets flustered. And I think he's going to be a great asset to this Australian team. To fix.
Welcome to the post-series presentation.
Let's get to Mark Taylor
for the Commonwealth Bank Test Series here. Joining me up on stage to my far left is Stuart Tucker, who's the General Manager of Brand Sponsorship and Marketing Services for the Commonwealth Bank. Stuart, welcome, and thank you for the Commonwealth Bank for your ongoing support of Australian cricket. Next to him is a man that needs little introduction, but a man who played in the inaugural test match between Australia and Pakistan in 1964 and former Australian cricket captain and great fella, Bill Laurie. Welcome, Bill. A big thank you to the match officials, the umpires, referees and scorers for your ongoing work throughout the summer. It's much appreciated by all of us. Before I get on to the player of the match and the player of the series, I'd like to invite firstly to the stage the captain of the Pakistan cricket team. Please welcome Misbah Al-Haq. Misbah, obviously a disappointing series for your team, but you ran into an Australian side on the rebound. They played some pretty good cricket.
Yeah, I think it was tough series, and full credit to Australian side. They played well, and obviously outplayed us in every department. They bowled well, they caught well, and they batted well, and they utilized their conditions very well. So full credit to them, and I think a lot of things being learned by our team also. A lot of youngsters here performing as early, Asad Shafiq, Sarfraz, because they, in future, they're going to be coming to Australia and traveling to other parts of the world. And that experience going to be lift them the way they performed. I think they batted well. So that's good, some positive for Pakistan team.
Looking back on the series, how important was that final day at the Gabba when you were inside at one stage of chasing down 490, and also that final day at the MCG?
Yeah, of course, in Gabba, the way we played in the second inning, that gave us a lot of confidence and self-belief. But I think we were really hurt by the last day at MCG. That is really difficult to take, that sort of defeat. And obviously you get demoralized by those sort of defeats. Otherwise, I think overall in Gabba and in this match, if you see a lot of positives for Pakistan team, but full credit to Australian, I think they played far better than us.
I know you're not playing in the one-day series, but how important is the one-day series for this younger side?
Yeah, it's important for them, and I already mentioned a couple of guys scoring runs, Sarfraz scoring runs, so that can give them a lot of confidence. And I think limited overs cricket pitches are good here, so they can enjoy their cricket here. And no matter whatever happens, I think it's a great place, Australia, where you learn a lot as an Asian side, and that will go a long way for their careers in future.
Well, Ms. Barr, we've enjoyed having you here. We thank you and your team for a very competitive series and wish you all the very best.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for everyone, and especially the crowd. They supported both the teams, enjoyed cricket, and thank you for your hospitality, and thank you, Australia.
Thanks. Thank you, Ms. Barr. Ladies and gentlemen, Ms. Barr al-Haq. It's now my great pleasure to introduce or to announce the Commonwealth Bank player of the match. This was not an easy one. A number of very good performances, particularly from the Australian side. There was obviously young Matt Renshaw, made 184. Peter Hanscom on day one made 110. Josh Hazlewood, I thought, bowled particularly well, taking 7 wickets in the match. But the Commonwealth Bank player of the match is the Australian player who kicked it all off on day one with 100 in the session, the first day of a test match. The player of the match, the Commonwealth Bank player of the match, is David Warner. David, obviously a terrific series and a really good comeback from an Australian side over the last, 3 or 4 weeks?
Yeah, definitely. It's a fantastic comeback. I think, as we've all said in the media before, it's probably Hobart which really kicked it off, and we forgot about that series and moved on. And the boys played great cricket, and obviously started with a day-night test, and from there it's just unfolded into a comprehensive 3-0 whitewash.
You haven't really had a chance to tell the crowd how much fun and what it was like on day one here at the SCG to score 100 in a session. First time it's happened on Australian soil.
Yeah, look, I think it's just always fun coming out here in front of your home crowd, and you know you've always got a great support, but I think when you get the adrenaline pumping and the crowd gets behind you, it's hard to refuse to not try and put balls to the fence.
And we saw a bit more of that yesterday.
Yeah, they're the great positions that you like to be in, especially test matches. You can go out there and play freedom, and that's what Steve asked of about the top six there, to go out and play your freedom and back yourself and try and put a good total on the board.
And are you going to enjoy the celebrations over the next day or so?
Yeah, definitely. I think we will tonight. I think a few of the youngsters are keen to get out and about and see what Double Bay has to offer.
Well, mate, well done on day one. Well done on the 3 matches in this test series. Ladies and gentlemen, the Commonwealth Bank player of the match, David Warner.
Thanks.
And now to the Commonwealth Bank player of the series. In very much a batting series, the man who probably shone above many others, there was quite a few of the Australian players in particular who made a couple of centuries in the series, but the man who led Australia, made 441 runs at an average of 110 over the last 3 test matches with 200s, the Commonwealth Bank player of the series is the Australian captain, Stephen Smith. Yeah. Stephen, obviously a lot nicer than about 4 weeks ago.
Yeah, it certainly is. You know, the turnaround since Hobart, the way we've played our cricket, the last Test match against South Africa and these last three against Pakistan, that's what we're about. That's the way we want to play our cricket. It's been outstanding. Guys have scored big runs. We've bowled good areas. We've built pressure. We've done all the right things. We've held our catches. Yeah, it's been a great turnaround, and I'm really proud of the way the boys have played the last couple of weeks.
I mentioned in the introduction, it's been pretty much a batting series, a lot of big runs, but your two quicks, Josh and Mitch, have done a terrific job over the six Test matches.
Yeah, they certainly have. You know, it was hard to get the ball out of their hands. They always wanted it and wanted to be the one to break the partnership and finish the game off. So, look, they've been outstanding, along with Nathan and Sock in this game. I thought Nathan bowled particularly well in Melbourne to get us on that roll in the last day, and he backed it up here again at his home ground. So, yeah, all the bowlers have done a terrific job, and, yeah, satisfying to get 3-0.
And a nice way to finish your 50th Test match as a player here at home at the SCG with a win.
Yeah, that's right. It's a great place to play. I love playing here at the SCG. It's my home, and yeah, it's great to have finished this series 3-0. You know, I've got to say a lot of credit's got to go to Pakistan. I thought they played some very good cricket throughout this series, particularly the two matches in Brisbane and Melbourne. And yeah, look, they're formidable opponents and always give us a run for our money.
Looking forward to the one days?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we're playing some good cricket at the moment, so hopefully we can carry that on into the one days as well. It's been a great couple of weeks, and yeah, to top it off, if we can close out the summer on a good note.
Well, Stephen, congratulations on being the Commonwealth Bank player of the series. You're also going to turn around now and receive the trophy from Bill Laurie, and I invite the Australian cricket team to please come forward. Australia winning the series 3-0.
Well done, Mark Taylor. Does a very good job emceeing the ceremony at the end of the day. We appreciate all of that from Channel 9 too. The Nine Network doing a great job.
Hi, this is Peter Hanscom.
The station that's always positioned at silly mid-on.
Boy, oh boy, was that something to behold.
And Triple M. Rocks Test Cricket.
Rockin' Test Cricket.
Just talking over our own intro there. Triple M have rocked Test Cricket for the last three games. Brisbane, Melbourne, and now Sydney, and it was an emphatic 3-0 series win for the Aussies. And today was made entertaining by a young man who came out and sub-fielded for an hour or so and captured everyone's hearts. Nez, you're down there with him.
I've had to pluck him away from the crowd who are wanting autographs and photos. I'm not even kidding. Then the man of the match was announced. There was a big crowd roar for Mickey Edwards. He joins us. Mickey, what an experience. They love you.
Yeah, I tried to... Someone wanted a photo over there, and I was like, there's 11 blokes inside who just won a Test match, so I think you got the wrong person here.
You are trending on Twitter right now, number one in Australia.
That doesn't make any sense. I didn't expect that when I woke up this morning.
When the boys all walked past into the rooms and they saw that you were about to do an interview with Triple M, they thought it was hilarious. Nathan Lyon losing it laughing and Steve Smith leading the way. What do you make of all this?
Yeah, Nate thought it was pretty funny to throw me the ball like six times before he threw it and the crowd would all go up. I don't know. I just think the attention should be on them, not on me, really.
Boys.
Mickey, it's Hads here. Mate, I know you've had a couple of dark years with injury, but being out in the field with that Australian team, it must keep that fire in the belly to get up every morning and just keep striving for that baggy green cap.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I haven't played much cricket in the last couple of years, so I think that's the longest I've been out in a cricket oval in the last couple of seasons.
What is the health situation? Because we know you've got a lot of promise, Mickey, and we've all sort of heard that you're emerging and then you've had some issues with your back. Is that what it is?
Yep. So I had my third stress fracture in a row in my spine. So I'm just on the comeback from that at the moment. I haven't actually picked up a cricket ball in 6 months or so. So I was a bit nervous when I had to throw my first ball.
And what about the prognosis, though, with that? How far away are you from bowling 140 k's again?
It should be a couple of months. I actually had my first bowl back in the week, so hopefully a couple of months and can maybe play a couple of games before the season's out.
We know you're a manly boy. I said to Kerry O'Keefe in commentary, it looks like you'd trade the Quicksilver surfboard for the creams when the weekend comes. Are you a man who enjoys the ocean?
I do, yeah, but sometimes the ocean doesn't enjoy me and spits me back out again. I seem to get injured more surfing than playing cricket, so I don't know how I manage that.
Mickey, there's a lot of us up here that want to know actually if you do play the game, but people thought that you were just pulled off the street on the way to Bondi.
I don't look that homeless, do I?
Somebody's pinching your 20-cent pieces out of your hat at
I
the moment.
I think I'll beg for some money after this.
Are you on a daily wage from the Cricket Australia?
I will be asking for it now. Hopefully contracted, I would have thought.
Hey, are you going in to celebrate with the boys?
No, actually, I was planning on just going home and leaving the change room nice and clean like a good 12th man does.
No, that's not a good 12th man, Mickey. I know you've been out of the game for a while, but the 12th man's job is to make sure you're in there celebrating as hard as you can with everyone else and enjoying the win as like it's your first and last ever win.
Keeping the beers cold, mate, that's the most important job.
I'll keep the ice in the Eskies.
You gave us great entertainment today. We love that, and good luck with the comeback and everything coming up.
Cheers. Thanks very much for that, guys.
Mickey Edwards with Nerilee Meadows, who's done a fantastic job. Scully, you've joined us.
Yeah.
Emphatic response from Australia. Down and out in Hobart. I don't reckon I'll forget the Steve Smith press conference after that game for a long time. I've never seen a more sort of harrowed Australian captain. Really, you've got to go back a long way, but the bounce back's been great.
Oh, it's been outstanding, and he's driven this, Smudger Smith. Got runs, captained brilliantly. And he's been, you know, he's been at the helm. That's the thing. He's the boss, and the others have followed him. Equally, Pakistan will look back. They could have won in Brisbane. Chased down 4-0. They should have drawn in Melbourne, and they lost the toss in Sydney on a Turner.
Yep.
And, I mean, it's 3-0 Australia, but they will say, we played reasonable cricket. But they against Australia, you've got to dot the I's, cross the T's. You've got to go to the wire. And they didn't go to the wire in any of the games.
So, Hads, the big challenge for Australia now is we don't laugh, because that would be mean, but we smirk a bit at these subcontinental countries coming to Australia and playing as badly as Pakistan do, as India have, as although they've been better lately, as Sri Lanka have. But our record on the subcontinent has been appalling. So we've got the chance now to go to India and put that right.
Yeah, it has. And that's the one Achilles heel with the Australian cricket for a long time is winning overseas. And the one thing Steve Smith said when he took over the captaincy, he said, I want to improve our a performance overseas, and India gives us a great opportunity. We're going there off the back of three great wins. Steve Smith's put his identity on this team. They're playing some great cricket, and now's as good a time as any to find a way.
And that's a problem for Sean Marsh, guys, isn't it? I mean, followers around Australia have now got Mickey Edwards as the reserve batsman.
Yes, they have. They have.
I actually see it being two things in India. One, our batsmen will definitely get tested against the spin to see if they can use their feet, use a sweep shot, do all those types of things. And secondly, our spinners. I think our quicks would do a good job over there. We've got Hazelwood, we've got Stark, we've got guys that can, you know, tail the ball back in late. But to me, it's about the spin and to see if the Australian batsman can handle the spin of the Indian bowlers.
And also, Scull, bring a game to India. You can't be subservient playing Test cricket in the subcontinent. You've actually got to bring the heat.
There's got to be aggression, and I that's the way Darren Leem and Steve Smith want to play the cricket. But unfortunately, in Sri Lanka, we blocked because we froze in the headlights. There's got to be aggression, but measured aggression.
Yep.
The sweep shot's got to be employed at the right time. The drives and the square cuts. The defence of the batsman has to be watertight, and that was the looseness that Ranganath Harath exposed in Sri Lanka. And Ashwin and Jadeja are waiting to expose it again. So, again, we have to dot the I's, cross the T's, just as Pakistan didn't in this series, to beat India in India.
All right, as we wrap up here from the SCG, Scully, you've been doing radio commentary in Test match cricket for the best part of 30 years. Have you ever worked in a box where, well, let's go back to Brisbane, Mick Malloy sitting behind you, just openly barracking like a man in the front bar? Then we had the Prime Minister on a regular basis for two test matches talking about a number of issues I didn't even know he was aware of. Jules Schiller with his special brand of seeing things differently. And then, you know, the commentary stylings of Gus Warland and, you know, Brett Lee and Brad Heads. It's been a very, very different and fun radio experience. The beautiful Isha Guha doing a magnificent job, narrowly down on the boundary. It's been fun.
Look, I've been in a lot of working environments over the years, and I've got to say, over the last month, this has been the best working environment and the best culture I have ever been involved with. and everybody should take a big bow because it's just been an absolute pleasure to work with you.
Mark Howard just texted me in saying, what am I, chopped liver?
Yeah.
Well, as a matter of fact, you are.
What if am
you,
I, chopped liver?
If you he's everywhere.
Bugger off and do the BBL, you won't get mentioned in proceedings. But we do have to thank Brad McNamara for a start.
Oh,
he's done
yeah,
a great
buzz.
Job putting it all well together.
Done,
we thank Ash Chua, who's done a great job with the stats, of course, and all the production staff who have done an unbelievable job. So to everyone who's been involved in putting Triple M Cricket together, we thank you. We look forward, boys, to Brisbane day one of the Ashes series, and then it is game on.
Go the clock.
Now we can really start to unwind.
This has been Triple M rocking Test Cricket.
Triple M rocks Test Cricket.